fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high profile, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy king ads they did?
The king!
The king.
They were so creepy, though.
They were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes the king. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Idaho, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Big news yesterday, as we first told you, the president makes the case to go after ISIS, ISIL, icicle, whatever they are. And is it too little too late? You know, we want to thank Senator Crapo for joining us yesterday. And Senator Crapo didn't know what the president was going to say, right? Didn't know what the president was going to say. Many of us didn't. And we'll go over those comments. But, you know, in our own daily world of waking up, getting rolling, working hard, doing an honest day's work, sometimes in a dishonest world, we take a look at ISIS and ISIL and the president. We think to ourselves, it doesn't really impact us. And how many of us would like to write a book? You know, I think everybody has a book in them, maybe a few books. And you talk about a work of fiction. And I'm trying to remember if it was on the air or off the air, we were talking to somebody. Actually, it was our friend Mike Baker, you know, of the CIA, of America Declassified, of, you know, the intelligence community. And we were yapping a little about just how disruptive ISIS or ISIL can be. And I told you before that I worry about, you know, people like our friend Sean Hannity and others, because we live in such a condensed world. In the old days, you could say things and feel relatively free to get away with those things here in America because the bad people couldn't get us. But as you've heard on this program, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO and others, that you have people that are so, and I don't know how to explain it, so mentally disabled, so full of hate and self-loathing and venom that they leave this great country, go train in Pakistan or Qatar or Afghanistan or Syria, adopt the ways of the ISIS, and then come back here with sleeper cells. We've heard that for years. Gosh, I hope that it never happens, friends. I truly hope and pray each and every night that we don't have any Kayla Muellers here in Idaho or anywhere else. And I remember, again, hearing some guy on a talk show going, well, that's what you get when you go over there. God bless that little girl, 26, 27, beautiful woman. And unlike most of us, and look, we all got to earn a living. We all got to pay the rent. We all got to try and have a better life for whether it's our kids, our dogs, whomever. This woman was selfless. She went over there as an aid worker, and you had the ISIS people kill her. I don't know if she was married off to the ISIS or not. That's the evil that we're up against. And I would hope that we would have a commander-in-chief, and I hope that it is our commander-in-chief that decides to get with the program. Of course, this is the same guy that compared ISIS to the Crusades. And one can't help but think, even if you give him the benefit of the doubt, that he's anti-Christian. How in the world can you compare ISIS to the Crusades? And we talked a little bit about that. So yesterday, the president makes his big speech, and the president says, you know, I need the War Powers Act. I need Congress to help me make this done. And as we talked about with Senator Crapo, if you missed it, you can go to our 8 o'clock hour podcast at 580kido.com. And, you know, you've seen what the the president's programs have done to the military. Now, he's going to blame Congress and the sequester cuts and everything else, but you can't launch, you know, attacks against these folks if you're cutting programs like the A-10. And the hidden little secret here, whether it's this administration or Clinton, is we've got two revenue centers here. We've got two profit centers, two job creators, one Gowan Field and the other Mountain Home Air Force Base. Maybe because I'm a product of a military family, I understand the nobility, and I know you as well, whether you're in the service or not, of these folks that work on the bases, and there are a lot of jobs that are around Gowan Field. And there are a lot of people that have lost jobs at Gowan Field. Look, you know, one of the things that that we have here is this community. This community each and every morning, whether it's you're listening from, you know, 6 to 6:40, like my friend Steve at Peterson Toyota, or Rebecca at Albertsons, or Wendy at Fred Meyer, or, you know, if you're listening for 4 hours like Martha. Here's the deal on this. We've built this community to make a difference. And one of the things that I think that we have a responsibility to do is to talk about stories, and I've lost my job for this in other places, that no one else will talk about, the uncomfortable stories. You know, how stable is Gowan Field? We have the Happy Press that will tell us stories about, you know, wonderful things. You know, there's a new sidewalk there on Chinden. We're going to have a new store where you can buy some merchandise. But how many people are actually looking into the future of Mountain Home Air Force Base and the future of Gowan Field? You take a look at Gowan Field, the A-10s are under attack. You can rest assured, thanks to our senators, Crapo and Risch and John McCain and some other influential senators, and the fact that the Republicans have the Senate now, that the A-10s are not going anywhere. The president would like to cut them. He doesn't have, as we say in the business, the stroke to make that happen. Now you take a look at the force reconfiguration on whether or not the president is going to, how should we put this, reallocate the Apaches to Utah or wherever. And the military, that unlike former Chief Masterson, they don't make opinions. They don't give their opinions while they're in uniform, while they're serving. They're there to serve. God bless them for that. Former Chief Masterson could take a lesson from them. So they're not going to tell you, hey, if the Apaches leave, I don't think there's another program coming here. So we take a look at our people in Washington. We have Risch and Crapo and Simpson that are very influential. We have another guy that writes press releases that go nowhere. It's up to them to save those jobs. As we talked about with Senator Crapo yesterday, Senator, how concerned are you about the jobs at Gowan Field? And quite frankly, it should be the newspaper. It should be the big people that are on TV that are doing some investigative reporting about this. You know, is Gowan Field on the hit list for the president's budget? Is Mountain Home, going to be obsolete because of the water situation in 30 years? This is the world that we live in, and no one else is talking about it. So we have the high ground here. So in the world of getting rid of the A-10s, reallocating the Apaches probably to some blue state, we have the President of the United States talking about that he needs authorization from Congress. It's funny, isn't it? He wants authorization from Congress to go after ISIL, but he legalizes the illegals without congressional authorization. He rewrites his own health care law without congressional authorization, and he says he has a pen and he intends to use it. But to go after the bad people, he wants Congress to give him permission. He should do that with a lot of things. So before we hear from the president at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, do these words resonate? Do we have any faith in this administration to do the right thing? Let's hear from the president. 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
Our men and women in uniform continue the fight against ISIL in Iraq and in Syria.
Right. Very short, brief statement there, Mr. President, but these are the same people that you've riffed out. Now, here's another story that hasn't been talked about, the draconian cuts in the military. And please don't tell me that the military is, you know, wasting money and we need to be more efficient. You know, here we have ISIS calling us out, killing beautiful Americans like James Foley, like Kayla Mueller, and we have the president saying it's up to us to fight them. Well, sir, how in the world can we fight ISIS, ISIL in Iraq when you pulled out all our troops? And the Syrian rebels, you called them the JV. It's strange. It's disturbing. But we're talking about not only our national security, but the very future of America. We go back to the president trying to tell us how great he is against ISIS.
More than 2,000 coalition airstrikes have pounded these terrorists. We're disrupting their command and control and supply lines, making it harder for them to move. We're destroying their fighting positions, their tanks, their vehicles, their barracks, their training camps, and the oil and gas facilities and infrastructure that fund their operations. We're taking out their commanders, their fighters, and their leaders.
You know, how many of us have made a mistake? Heck, I make a lot of mistakes. I don't know about you. I hope you're not. I'm a flawed human being. I'm a flawed human being here. But when you make a mistake, and gosh, is it so humiliating? Is it so humbling when you say, I was wrong? Would it be too much to ask the President of the United States here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning to say, I was wrong about ISIS. I was wrong to cut the military. I was wrong to leave Iraq. I mean, you've got Jihadist Jimmy that's going to come out and have another video. When they call you out, they don't fear you. Hillary Clinton, I made a mistake when I had her as Secretary of State. I made a mistake that John Kerry is the Secretary of State. Our foreign policy in the Middle East is a disaster. I can't blame this on George Bush. Why not say, look, I've made a mistake. I've made a mistake in trying to cut the military. You know, he talks about we're going to go after him. How embarrassing was it? And again, it shows you the Brian Williams press corps. Remember how chummy Brian Williams was with the president when they went to the White House and they had Five Guys burgers and that Obama bought him a burger and don't tell Michelle now. Don't tell Michelle, Brian. Funny, he's not coming to Brian Williams' defense now. But the Brian Williams press corps, remember the billions of dollars. And those of you that have served, here's an apology. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we had an administration that let you down, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry that your time away from your loved ones or those of you that have lost loved ones or if you've come back not the same way that you left, it was all for Mr. Obama's resume. That's my opinion. Because remember when ISIS first started, they went into Iraq and they grabbed the bank and got $3 billion? And then they grabbed the oil fields. Remember, we trained the Iraqi military, gave them billions of dollars, and they couldn't stop a bunch of guys in black robes and machine guns. But the president says he's going to get them this time.
And with vile groups like this, there is only one option. With our allies and partners, we are going to degrade and ultimately destroy this terrorist group.
Now, can the president do it without troops on the ground?
The resolution we've submitted today does not call for the deployment of U.S. ground combat forces to Iraq or Syria.
So how are you going to destroy ISIS, ISIL, ISIL? 580-5436-580-KIDO. The president says there's not going to be boots on the ground, but how do you do it?
For example, if we had actionable intelligence about a gathering of ISIL leaders and our partners didn't have the capacity to get them, I would be prepared to order our special forces to take action because I will not allow these terrorists to have a safe haven. So we need flexibility, but we also have to be careful and deliberate.
Right. What the president doesn't tell you is we already have troops on the ground fighting. We just haven't acknowledged them. You know in the movies when they go, okay, if you get caught, you did this on your own, your country will not back you up. That's what's going on right now. So my thought to you, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. That's right, the mayor. That's right. Did you see that story over the paper? I got to give it to the mayor. He's decided to follow our lead, and he's come up with, I think, a task force on how to lobby the administration on how to save Gowan Field, I think. You know, instead of trying to tell the president to take Boulder White Clouds, how about tell the president to keep his hands off Gowan Field? What do you think? I'd love to hear from you next. 6:19, Kevin Miller in the morning coming up next. The Senate says no to betting machines at the horse track. Is that going to save the schools or cost the schools? Why is it always about the schools? We'll talk about that next.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
And this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about passion. And I'm not talking about the passion that we associate with Valentine's Day or even the passion that's been much publicized with the upcoming release of 50 Shades of Grey. But I'm talking about the passion that we saw exude from Gary Stevens Monday morning when he testified.
The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound.
And good morning. It was, I think, the tribe, the Coeur d'Alene tribe won, gaming machines zero in the state Senate yesterday. We'll have full details on that coming up at, we can talk about it now. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're also talking about the president making his big statement.
Thanks to all the Broncos for having me. And thanks for the balmy weather.
There we have it. You're welcome there, Mr. President. President making his case against ISIS yesterday. In addition to that, a big hearing yesterday involving the gaming machines. It's been going on since Monday. And who would have thought that you'd have such emotional testimony at the Capitol about the slots and what is, what isn't a slot machine, and whether or not the slot machines at the racetracks have actually violated the Idaho Constitution. You had people up there going, hey, man, people are going to lose their jobs. Schools are going to run out of money. Speaking of which, man, how crazy is it when we're taking a look at the schools and all of a sudden they can't pay the broadband bill? Yeah, we'll get into that. I mean, maybe we should go back to talking about that Montana lawmaker that wants to ban people, young ladies, from wearing yoga pants and men from wearing Speedos. At least it would give you a laugh, right? Let's hear what happened yesterday. Here's Senator Brent Hill.
The Constitution is not ambiguous here. It is so plain that pari-mutuel betting is legal in the state of Idaho. However, under subsection 2, pari-mutuel betting cannot employ any form of casino gambling, including but not limited to blackjack, craps, roulette, poker, baccarat, keno, and slot machines, or employ any electronic or electromechanical limitation or simulation of any form of casino gambling.
Wow. Very, very emotional testimony. Here's our friend, Garden City Mayor Johnny Evans.
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
Heck yeah. He's right. And LeBois, a lot of people wonder if the racetracks can roll if this goes through to the full Senate, where you have the instant racing repeal bill will head to the Senate. And you think about that. Very emotional. Everybody's saying that there should have been more due diligence. Well, what happened was, whether it was intended to or not, you had people saying, hey, we want to, I don't know, a couple years ago, was it? Yeah, a couple years ago. The legislature approved historic horse racing machines. And I guess this is how you do it. Not that I'm a better, obviously, but I did lose $500 million. Maybe you did as well. Where people could bet on old races with no identifiable information. But after the machines were installed at a few racetracks around Idaho, like LeBois, lawmakers were surprised they seemed to look and act like slot machines, which are illegal in Idaho. And it's funny because then you have Sheriff Rainey, sheriff of Ada County, saying, I've gone in there and investigated, and the legislature has to give me more guidance on this. I mean, if it's a slot machine, it's fairly obvious, right?
As with all things related to gambling, the revenue potential is huge. This is what makes these machines so enticing to people looking for instant payouts, enticing to business owners looking to subsidize their profits, and enticing to lawmakers seeking ways to fund worthwhile projects.
Right.
If this bill passes, financial support for Idaho public schools, county fairs, and youth 4-H and equine programs will disappear, and a substantial investment by Idaho business will be lost.
That's the clip. So coming up at 580-5436, are you telling me that the racetracks don't make any money? And if that's the case, and we've seen this across the country, kind of like with tenured, with tenure, tiered tenure, that's it, where it's gone on the East Coast, let's bring it to the West Coast, let's bring it to the Mountain West, and here you have horse racing tracks that eventually they have gaming machines, then they have slot machines, then they have video poker, and then they have games, and then they're a casino. The problem in Idaho is it's against the Constitution, but do you agree with the statement by this young man by the name of John?
If this bill passes, financial support for Idaho public schools, county fairs, and youth 4-H and equine programs will disappear, and a substantial investment by Idaho business will be lost.
Here's the skinny on this, and you have notable profit centers, and people are pumped up about going to the races. They like to go to the races. LeBois this, LeBois that. Everybody loves to go to the Kentucky Derby and look at the ponies and then bet on the ponies here. Ladies' night and everything else. However, there are jobs associated with this. And if you believe John that says the schools are going to go under, the people are going to go under, and these machines have only been around for 2 years. So does that mean that the parks aren't making any money without the machines? And if that's the case, would you be willing to put those machines in those parks for jobs for Idahoans? Some interesting questions. Let's get your answers next. It is Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And it is 6:40 in the morning. Kevin Miller in the morning. Joining us now is Kobe Tigert to talk about a big rally coming up at the State House. Kobe, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing this morning?
Not bad, brother. So you're concerned about the lands here in Idaho and across the country. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, that's correct. Sportsmen across the U.S. are, you know, we really utilize public lands in a lot of ways. Probably 3/4 of the hunters in the country really rely on public lands for their recreation, their opportunity to hunt and fish. And with Idaho, you know, having so many public lands within it, almost 2/3 of the state, it's one of the states that the residents of the state, you know, hunting and fishing, the outdoor lifestyle is really part of our heritage and tradition, and it's important to us that those lands stay in public hands, and access to those lands is ensured into the future. So sportsmen from across the state of Idaho are going to gather on the steps of the Capitol today at noon to just show the Idaho State Legislature that we're concerned about these lands, and we want to keep them available to the public and in public hands. And just show our strength, and so I'm in the process right now, traveling across the state to get to Boise and join in that rally to protect these public lands.
Now, you're part of a national group, or are you a local person?
Well, I'm actually a lifetime Idahoan, born and raised in southeast Idaho in the Soda Springs, Pocatello area. I currently live in Pocatello.
Oh, so this is a local movement.
Well, yeah, mostly. There are eight other Western states where, you know, there's also been talk about transfer of state public lands to the states and then Idaho as well. But this rally today is really a group of Idaho organizations getting together and getting their members together and really hoping to turn out a lot of folks that may not be a member of a local hunting or fishing organization, but still are, you know, avid sportsmen and appreciate the outdoors and letting their voices be heard as well. So, I do work for Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership as the Idaho representative. So I'm here focused on what's important to Idaho folks.
Now, this is interesting because we've had a lot of people calling in, and it's been a point of conversation for us here, Kobe, at 580KIDO about what to do with some of the lands here. You have a lot of folks in Boise wanting the president to declare a national monument with Boulder White Clouds. You have a lot of vocal people here saying that it should be up to the states. Your thoughts and you know, who should have the land?
Well, you know, the lands are American public lands currently. They belong to all the citizens of the United States. And, you know, in a lot of ways that benefits Idahoans because we get to live here and we get to enjoy these lands. Yet, you know, other people help foot the bill for the management of them. It's expensive to manage public lands. So, you know, that's helpful for us to be able to have these things available to us locally, but not have to foot the entire bill. And with the expense of managing these lands, it's a major concern to a lot of us that that are Idaho taxpayers that, you know, it's a big bill to foot. And we have concerns that the state would be able to do that. And if they couldn't, you know, with us having a constitutionally balanced budget here in this state, we're afraid that long-term they'd be forced to sell off some of those lands to public or to private interests. And
right. Your issue is, and I don't want to speak for you, but we only have a limited amount of time. You would rather have, and sir, please correct me if I'm wrong, you'd rather have the feds come in because you believe, and look, we have a lot of crony capitalism, not only in Idaho, but across the country. You'd have the big money interests come in and buy up the lands and make it unavailable to the public. That's the other side of the argument of letting the state take over. Is that correct?
I think that'd be accurate, yeah. And you know, I think it'd be hard to find many sportsmen that would say that, you know, federal management is perfect. You know, there's a lot of room for improvement in the way a lot of these lands are managed. But, you know, just because things aren't perfect federally doesn't necessarily mean that the state could do a better job. So I think there are probably other ways to work that doing this, you know, maybe some cooperative efforts between local, state, and federal to maybe develop some better coalitions, you know, to help have more local input on how some of these lands are managed. But
right, and you have the issue, though, where people say that the feds can't manage the lands, then you have all the fires and everything else. We see that with other parts of the state that are managed by the feds, and then you have people that say that it's going to create a bunch of jobs if the feds come in because it'll be a lot of federal money.
Well, you know, the feds are already here. And, you know, one of the points you just made about fire suppression, the fire control is, you know, that's a very expensive thing to manage. And, you know, 2 years ago when we looked at the Pony Complex and the Elk Complex fires that, you know, threatened the Sun Valley area, you know, the cost of managing those fires and fighting those fires, if those costs would have all fallen on the state of Idaho, you know, it could have likely bankrupted the state. So, you know, there are times when having those deeper pockets of the federal government able to fight fires and do those things, you know, really benefits the local folks in handling some of those bigger situations.
Hey, finally, so do you hope that the feds come in and take over the Boulder White Clouds and other areas here?
Well, we're really not talking about the Boulder White Clouds. You know, we're not engaged in that issue. What we're really asking the state legislators today to do is keep up public access open to our public lands, keep these public lands in public hands, and you know, manage them in a way, allow for management that is good for Idaho and, you know, the citizens of the state.
Hmm.
And you know, we really feel that.
Well, would that be the feds or would that be the state?
Well, I think with the cost of management, it'd be a real challenge for the state. I think the cost would be overwhelming, and they'd end up selling some of these lands to private individuals or private holdings, and then, you know, all Idaho sportsmen would lose.
Well, what's the danger? And what's the danger in that, Kobe? When you have, I mean, people say, look, it's a capitalistic society. If people want to, you know, that gives the state some money and these lands will be taken care of under the big rich people that will come here from California.
Well, like I say, you know, 75% of the hunters in the state of Idaho rely on public lands. if those lands go away, then they've lost, you know, their birthright, their heritage. For a lot of those people, that's the reason they live here in Idaho, is because the outdoors and access to the outdoors and the ability to roam across those lands have always been here, and that's really part of their self-identity, the identity of Idaho. If all those lands are transferred into private ownership, you know, a lot of those people wouldn't have access to them. And, you know, within Idaho, there's also an outdoor recreation industry that's a $6 billion a year industry. There are roughly 77,000 jobs tied to that industry that generate about $2 billion worth of income to folks. You know, those jobs in that industry could be at risk as well if those public lands go away.
Well, what time is your rally again, Kobe, today?
Our rally starts on the state capitol steps at noon today. It'll run for about an hour. There'll be folks there speaking about why these lands are important to them as Idahoans. And afterwards, there'll be free food for people that have shown up. And we hope to see all the sportsmen from the Boise area and across Idaho show up today.
All right, Kobe, to be continued. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I'd like to come back and visit with you more, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, have a good day, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. There we have it, the other side of the lands debate right here at 580 KIDO. It is 6:49. Time for traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. But don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. But don't fence me in. Let me be
Oh, grab our coonskin cap, little buckskin, little weekend getaway. Living off the lands. Words to live by. K. Millie in the morning at 580 KIDO. It is 6:55. So we have Kobe saying, hey, the feds can control the lands because the state of Idaho will sell them to the highest bidder, like those people in Montana that came from California. Joining us now from America, Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot.
Kevin, I'm not sure who that gentleman was that you had on, but he certainly isn't there to help protect the lands. He's a pure conservationist, and he's not there for the people who are out there hunting and fishing. The people who are hunting and fishing would like to get their lands back. You know, ever since the feds have been in charge of our lands, we've had more fires and devastation to our forests than we've ever seen since the era of clear-cutting timber. You know, the damage that has been done to our land under the supervision of the Forest Service and the BLM has been nothing less than abysmal. And not to mention the fact that the timber harvests have been some of the worst in history, which is where we get a goodly amount of the money for our schools. We don't want to take these lands and sell them. That's the last thing. This man has absolutely no idea or understanding of why we want to take these lands back. It's because they have been mismanaged by the federals. They don't care about our land. They only want control over it. You know, we have one of the most, the best natural resources of almost any other state in the country, but we have no access to them. You wonder why we have low-paying jobs and people are moving out of the rural areas? It's because they have cut all of the access to our forest and to our property. You know, this is killing Idaho.
What do you make of the argument, though, that if the state takes it over, you're going to have the crony capitalist sell it to the highest bidder?
That's not the truth. The man is giving you a bunch of willy-nilly lies. If that land is sold, most of the money goes to the federal government. It doesn't come to the state. We don't get any benefit from selling the land. It's only 5% that would even come to us. Why would you want to sell property if you can't get anything for it? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life, and I keep talking about this. You know.
Well, he's going to have his rally today at the State House.
Well, I hope all 10 people show up, because I'll get down there and take a picture of them.
Now, before you go.
Yes.
What do you make of the Internet thing? Because, you know, you've been on this from the very beginning. The judge saying the contract's null and void. The company saying you don't pay us by the 22nd. We're cutting the spigot off the Internet to the schools.
Kevin, this is what happens when you have contracts that are made behind closed doors and there's no transparency. We've seen this done time and time again here. What you need to do is have more transparency in government so we actually know what's going on. I think it's going to be a hurt for the schools, but I also understand a lot of the schools are not using the Internet as much as it should be used since they had it put in.
Yeah, it's
the
like
rural schools are.
It's like 1800. Anyway, I apologize. We're out of time, but I owe you a phone call.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right. Our great friend Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot. Time for traffic.